Hey guys, welcome back to Ebbs and Flows, where we talk about the highs and lows on and off the field. We've crossed codes today. Got a couple boys up and coming. Really excited to talk to these boys. Belly, Mike and Mark, thanks for jumping on.
Thanks very much, brother. Thanks for having us.
Bro, I don't want to do your last name any disservice, so can you teach me how to pronounce it?
Yeah, it's Noanganitwaze. The no. Q's pronounced as a G.
Yeah, Noanganitwaze.
Yeah. Don't be confident with it.
That's bro, cool. I was practicing it, but I just didn't want to be any like disrespect there. So bro, thanks for jumping on. All right boys, obviously I'm a Kiwi. Jagged a bit of a win on the weekend. Talk about the Bledisloe Cup. From you guys were up in the first 40, playing very well. Do you want to talk about that game?
Yeah mate, it was a hard one. Look, I felt like the first 40 minutes was so much fun, eh? Like that's probably the most fun I've had playing a footy game in a long time, just because, you know, like if you're winning as a team, it's unreal. Like, it's great fun. And obviously it's against the All Blacks in Dunedin. Mate, all they do down in Dunedin is play footy. Like it's all rugby. So it's like the atmosphere was unreal and the crowd was gone. And that first 40 minutes and coming off halftime, like, mate, it was like...
So much confidence.
Like, yeah. Like we had so much going for us and they just chased us down, eh?
Yeah. What's it sort of like getting into those sort of experiences? Like... You see, you guys have grown up and I've seen what year you guys were born. I'm old enough to remember when the Wallabies were the best side. So over the course of your whole life, you've just seen the All Blacks, I want to say this respectfully, smacking the boys. what's it like to be out there and seeing the haka, seeing the anthem, being at the G, all that sort of stuff? What's that like, bro?
Yeah, well, like just seeing the haka, like, you know, to think that we're the ones standing there now watching, it's pretty special. Also, you know, the big crowds, you know, the way they, you know, they get around this game, you know, but also how special it is, you know, it's pretty crazy. And then, you know, versus the All Blacks, you know, in the period they have been at the moment where they've been so dominant, I guess the game that just happened, you can see why they're so special, you know, to be able to come back from where they had been, you know, it was shit for us, but it shows you, you know, how good they are and, you know, we got to, I guess, step it up if we want to take him on at the World Cup.
Yeah. What was the guy when you guys come into the international game, especially the All Blacks, what was the one guy that you looked across from the opposition and go, fuck, that's him? Did you have one of those moments?
Bro, Artie, bro.
Artie? Yeah. My Artie.
Yeah, your Artie. My first test when I was like real young, I was like, wow, this bloke is a beast. Like even like on the weekend, my first carry to Artie. Picked me up and walked me backwards 5 meters, bro. I'm 130 kilos. Yeah. He just picked me up and walked me back. So it was like, someone like Artie, who's just, you know, he's just one of those blokes. He's like similar to our Hoops, like our Michael Hooper. Like he just is always there. Doesn't go away. Fittest bloke on the field, most aggressive. And he's a leader. He's ruthless. So it's
He's not that big too. Like when I watch him play, and the first time I met him in person, I was expecting this like really big. And I look at you boys. You boys are massive, but like the way he sort of plays the game, he plays well above his weight, doesn't he?
I say the same thing, Artie. But like, mate, the way he's been going over the past few years, obviously, like we've versed him sometimes in club, but I guess when you put on the jersey, it changes and. The try saving tackle he did, you know, we could have won if we got that.
But, yeah.
You know, things he does where you don't see as much, goes to show how special he is. And yeah, it's pretty crazy to think, we're going up against him like that. So,
yeah. What about in the back line? You sort of look across, obviously, we're pretty stacked in our backs. And, bro, you, to be fair, give you boys both your flowers, been holding it down individually, been playing very well. Who are you looking across at that side? Is it like a Will Jordan? Is it like Caleb Clark or.
I'd probably say like Bowden, either Bowden.
Oh, he's a freak, eh?
Mate, like I grew up watching him as well, and Richie, mate, like any of those two, when they're on the field, they just, the way they do things, it's like, you know, it's just special to like watch. Obviously, it's like reversing them, but it's pretty cool to go up against them.
You go.
Different sort of power those blokes, eh? Like our backs are powerful as, and like, it's hard, like when you like play as a forward, and like you play, like say in league, you play in the middle, and you're mostly running and tackling forwards.
Yeah.
Like in Union, with all like the kick chases and the counter attack and that sort of things, like you always find yourself tackling those blokes. But like, you got Caleb Clark running back; he's bigger than most forwards. Like, So you don't want to get bumped by you don't want to get bumped by back. So, but no,
do you see that part of the game when Will cranked Samu? Wow. Ended up on the ground, the poor dude. Yeah. Hey, shout out Samu, my boy. So I had Quaden here sort of yesterday talking about you boys and had great raps on you. Told me that you're very bad at playing cards. I was like, bro, what's bad? Like, he goes, bro, he's a shittest card player. You reckon you got some stories about punishments? Give us some stories on those.
Man, I've had. Because I was the youngest in the squad for a long time. I had this little like toy. His name's Wally. He's a little kangaroo and you have to carry him around everywhere, bro. Lunch, team, dinners, you know, training. And like for me, like Lungy's got it this year and no one has touched him. That's why I'm so old. Because like the 3 years I had it, bro, I had to strap him to myself. Like I ended up just strapping him to myself because like I was paying fines. I'll give you a good one. Like we had our forwards coach, Dan McKellar, who's like a notoriously pretty hard bloke, like very like Aussie, I'd say. He's just Aussie. Like he's just all about, you know, getting in the rough and tumble, that sort of thing. And I had to go into a team selection and team training as he put it up on the board and had to say, I had two choices. I had to go into the skill session and drop every single ball I caught. Oh. So I had to, every ball that came my way, I had to drop and make a mistake and no one else knew. And afterwards they would tell them, or I had to in the team meeting say, like speak up and be like, nah, this is, you know, this is.
Go against it. Some of the fines that like some boys come up with.
Man, I was like.
Those are worse, eh? You'd rather pay money.
So yeah. I'm like talking to this guy that like, he's my forwards coach and like got a lot of respect for him. And he's like cranky, like he gets angry quick. And I've got to say to him, nah, this is, you know, this is bullshit. Nah, we're not doing this, bro. We've done too much contact this week. I'm not doing it like, and properly. And if I don't do it, then I got to do another thing. So I had to do it proper. So like, there's so many things, bro. Like I had to go swimming in New Zealand when it was like -3. Yeah. So much stuff, bro.
Have you ever played the game when no one's allowed to talk to the head coach?
No.
Oh, next time you go out for dinner, play that game with Eddie Jones. That'll be a bit of a giggle.
Oh, no. I wouldn't play it. There's no way I'm playing
it. It's pretty funny because they try and talk to you and all that sort of stuff happens. Yeah. Just to swing it back to rugby, that game against RG, obviously one of the great tries, and I thought you guys were home. What was that experience like? Obviously growing out around those areas, wearing the Aussie jumper. Thought you sealed it, bro. What was that like?
Man, yeah. Look, it was... I had a lot of fun. Obviously, we didn't get the result we wanted, but man, like all the family in the crowd, some of my mates in the crowd, you know, it was pretty special. And then yeah, like you said, like that last moment where I thought we had it. After that, and I still remember running and just looking at my family and friends and just thinking, shit, like, oh sorry.
No, you swear what you want, bro.
Just thinking like this is happening. It's pretty special. You know, there's one of those moments are. Like, you know, always remember. Yeah.
Was it when you're running, was it going quick or was it going slow? Could you like really absorb it? Or were you just like, fuck, just get me there?
No, just get me there. But you should see when I got there and I was like just blowing. You know, it happened so quickly. But but yeah, I just felt like I was on a treadmill for a second.
You didn't look like you're on a treaty, right? You're flying. So obviously you guys got World Cup preparations coming up now. Give us a sort of behind the scenes of what's happening. And I'll ask about Eddie Jones a little bit later, but just from a training perspective, coming off a pretty rough campaign, going into a pretty nice pool over in World Cup, what's the confidence like and how's the training been?
Yeah, I'd just say, obviously we've, like you said, we have a bit of a rough patch. But I guess it's the way you look at it. You know, I'm pretty confident with what we've done so far. Where we went from the first game, you know, just playing our first 20 minutes good and then kind of dying off. And then, you know, we thought we played most of the game last week pretty good. So we're kind of building. We've only been together for a short time. So I guess now for us, you know, not much time left leading to the World Cup. It would just be about, just building those connections a bit more and, you know, keep doing what we've been doing because it's working and just staying confident with that because, you know, we've got the team to be able to do a lot of things. And
yeah,
I think
for
one of those things is winning the World Cup. So, just have a crack.
Yeah. What about you, bro?
Yeah, 100%. No, I agree with Marky. Like, cohesion's a massive thing in our sport, I think. Like, if you look at the All Blacks, for example, they're a team that have been so dominant over the last decade. And if you look at their spine, not much changes, like maybe one or two swap out, but they sort of get picked up in that and get brought along in that leadership journey. Like, and I feel as though we've had like a spine and a lot of older players that are, vastly experienced that have like sort of been that rock for us. And now for like guys like me and Marky, who are obviously the younger guys, it's sort of allowed us to develop. And as a team, it's been like a massive thing. Like we've, you know, obviously we started terribly against, you know, our first game against South Africa, which we weren't happy with as a whole. And then you slowly built on everything.
I know you boys are big, but they're big, aren't they?
It's crazy. Started, like, man, when you, like, that was my first time going over there. And like, you hear about seeing how big the players are, but you just go over there and everyone's just like, I don't know what they're feeding them over there.
Bro, next level. Like, yeah. There's some of their boys, man, like 6'9" and way bigger than you. Like,
and can move. Like, yeah. That's the crazy part about it.
You're not spotting them up, hiding them on. They can follow you.
Exactly right.
Yeah. Like, it's next level. Like, I don't know what they feed them over there. Yeah.
All right. The coach, Eddie Jones. I think he's great for rugby. Obviously, I'm a leaguey. He brings a lot of attention to you guys, and I don't know if it's always good or bad attention, but behind the cameras, behind the press conference, behind his podcasts, what's he like to deal with on a day-to-day basis?
I think he's really, like, it's, for me, that sort of head coach is something that I probably need. He's someone that, like, it's like tough love. It's like, you know, he pushes you to be your best, and he comes from, like, the position of, you know, you don't want to look back in 5 years' time. Something he said to me that I can share is like, I don't want to look back in 5 years' time and, you know, I could have been this player and I could have had this effect on like rugby in Australia, but then you don't, and you don't want to have regrets. And that's something that he harps on, is that, you know, he's just going to keep us accountable. And obviously training, like the amount of training we're doing and how hard we're working is crazy, but it's to break those bad behaviors and get better as a team. And then it'll slowly like peter off, but we're in a moment, like in a phase now where it's a lot of just storm. Everything is crazy, but we're getting better dramatically. And that's what we need to do to get to where we need to get to at the World Cup.
What about you, bro?
Yeah, I'd say, yeah, very similar. Probably sum it up like he's very good at challenging everyone. And like, that's from staff to players. You know, as much as we work hard, he's very good at motivating us to do it. Like he's, you know, as much as like there's some negative stuff there, there's always a lot of positive reinforcement as well, which is good.
Yeah.
And that actually, I guess for me personally, like he gives a lot of confidence in me to go out there and you know, do what I can for the team. And I guess that's what he's trying to build with everyone, just having the confidence in what we're doing, but making sure we're challenging ourselves to get better while we're doing it as well. So yeah, no, he's been really good. Obviously we heard, you know, back in the days you'd hear stuff about him, but yeah, he's good to be around. He's actually quite a laugh as well. Like,
is he? Yeah.
Man, just that dinners, like team dinner or even the meetings, like he'll be roasting boys, like in a good way, not in a bad way, like he keeps a smile on all the boys' faces, which is good.
The banter's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. Like,
has he got it like that? Does he?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's real good.
His banter's next level. It's hilarious. We've got this bloke in our team, Blake Shop. He's like he's built like a fridge, man. Like
his brother.
Yeah. So, he's built like a fridge, man. Like he's a prop. He's the same position as me. Unreal bloke. He's like, he calls him Brick Shithouse. And he calls him that in the media and everything. And he's just like, every morning, he's like, hey, you going shithouse? Like, just like, man, the banter is hilarious. And he just like has nicknames for everyone. I was half body for ages because I got small legs.
Are you all torso, are you?
Yeah.
Bro, that's like me.
All stomach, bro.
My nickname was Sausage Dog back in footy. So all long torso. so we'll touch on World Cup pretty soon, but I want to talk about, like I said earlier to you boys, I remember the Wallabies, like we're the team in early 2000s. You guys got probably the most important part of rugby, ARU, over the next 4 years. You got World Cup this year. Obviously, the British Lions are coming down there. Hopefully, boys smack them. And the World Cup comes here. I know your guys' job is just to focus game by game and World Cup and just do your best, but do you ever look outside the game in terms of like media? You see AFL growing, you see NRL growing, and I come from New Zealand where rugby's so big. Do you feel like you guys are getting lifted out a little bit?
Like you said, it's evident rugby isn't what it used to be. Sometimes it does get brought up. Like for example, Eddie has told us like we have the opportunity, you know, to bring that, I guess, that passion and that drive for the game back that we haven't had in a while. So it's definitely there. I guess it's just, yeah, it's just up to us to be able to go out there and change it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Like my thoughts around it are, like, if you're successful, you the game grows. Like, obviously in New Zealand had so much success. That's your sport. It's your nation's sport. It's something that's followed so closely. In Sydney, there's so many rivals, so many rival codes. There's so many different sports now that are competing for that market. And you got to look at it that way, because it's not in Sydney. There's like how many league clubs? Like
eight or ten league clubs.
So it's like
too much.
Yeah. It's like, so like we're competing with them, but I think it just comes down to winning. Like if we start winning, we push this World Cup to try and win it, and we get there and we win it, and then we come home for a home line series and a World Cup. You'd be surprised, man. Like that line series, like, it's a different world over in Europe. Like rugby is everything in Europe. Like it's a different world, bro. Yeah. Like you go over there for a spring tour and the crowds, everyone knows, like people like in Japan, like they turn up with dolls like of you.
Or plagues, yeah.
Like, you won't got a long torso?
No, dolls, yeah. Well, why's mine fat? No. But like he's
yours
like,
got a six pack, bro?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, like it's like overseas, it's crazy, bro. And it's like, it's bigger than anything. Like it goes like football and then rugby union, and then like a league wasn't a real thing over there. But and like when the games are playing in those towns, like you got Cardiff, Murrayfield, like Scotland, all those places.
Twickenham, the stadiums, bro, they're like amazing.
It's always packed out. Stard, where Marky played. Yeah, and where we're going for the World Cup, bro, it's a different world. And that's something that like we'd love to bring back to Australia.
Like that's the thing. That's what you're talking about. Like, you know, at the moment we don't have that, but we do have the opportunity to bring it.
Yeah.
So we do, like, you do think of it sometimes here and there.
Well, I was at the G when you guys were playing, and I remember just sitting there looking around, and 100% you'd never be able to fill a league international game. If you had Australia versus New Zealand, we'd probably struggle to fill out like Bankwest. Yeah. So if you look at international rugby in Australia, it's still very well supported. Mm. It's just the club game, like our club game in NRL and AFL is really big. Mm. AFL's there. Like I was at Collingwood the night before, same crowd, bro. It was crazy. Yeah, yeah. So their club football is really good, NRL's thing. But you guys internationally, it's fucking exciting, bro.
Yeah.
Because you know what it is, bro? In NRL, like they'll have an international comp and maybe a couple guys from England will come, or a couple of random dudes from like Lebanon. But it's basically just the NRL just playing each other, but they play thing. Like when the Lions come down, like Farrell might be coming down.
Yeah.
There's guys that you've never seen play in person and you understand, or Intermac, when you guys play France. Like I understand their history, so I want to go see those guys play live where we don't really have that in league. So. Yeah. I think it's going to be a prime time for you guys to come through.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And like, if we get to be a part of it, it'd be unreal. Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know about Marky, he's year to year basis, mate. So
save the notes.
You're going to have to contact his manager to ask about that one.
That segues nicely. Thank you. Bro, so you're sort of signing year by year contracts. I got a quote from you in there. In a perfect world, I like to stay in rugby, but there's always a but. There's obviously other things out there that might interest me. Quote from you.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer, bro.
What does that mean?
Well, the way Saudi Arabia is going,
You play golf, bro? Or try and get in that little crew?
Play ping pong, bro.
Yeah, that's just, I guess, being lucky enough to play footy at the moment. And I guess, look, I'm signed for another year. I've still got another year here. But, after those, the next years after that, I guess they're open. Like the quote says, I'm open to anything. at the moment, just focusing on the next few steps.
You might have a future in politics after that answer. I'm just going to ask a question for you, Leek. It's obviously you got the build for it. Very evasive the way you play, very active. I watch you and Kurabita get around, hardly ever on your wing, taking carries all the time. And that's like in rugby league, big work ethic, they carry 20 times. Are you sort of looking over the fence? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that sort of something that excites you?
Yeah, look, I'll say it's there. Like it's definitely an option. I've grown up playing league. So it's definitely something that's, I feel like I have a connection to. So that's why I guess in the sense that, I'm open to things that may come or may not come, who knows. But yeah, at the moment, obviously just paying my union.
You're good.
The way he's playing now, mate, he won't be going anywhere.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
10-year deal's coming out soon.
Come on, man.
Another league question. Obviously, Suwali coming over. So you've sort of seen that the type of money he's getting, and obviously, hopefully, the rising tide raises all ships and all that sort of stuff. What's some couple of league guys from NRL that you'd love to put the gold jersey on with? Is there any guys that really stand out to you?
Oh, that's a good question.
Cam Murray, 100%, would be one.
Everyone says that. Was he that good, was he?
Bro, when I was at school, I was in year 9, and I was watching him play first, like 15, in our school system. And, mate, he was the best player on the field by country miles every single time he took the field. And, like, the position of inside centre just, like, suits him so well. Like, he's not huge. He's very evasive, unreal ball carrier. Like, the courage, 100 out of 100. And he would just be, I reckon, the best inside centre.
I know it's more of a luxury, but do you reckon it's nice to have a 12 that can kick? So I look at, like, Jordy Barrett. He hits him sweeter than most. Yeah. Would that weigh him down, or build it around him? Hey?
There's guys who don't kick, who don't generally kick.
Yeah.
So I don't think that would stop him from getting
being effective.
Yeah, being effective. Like, you can do it. Like you said, he can ball carry. He's got some good hands, so you can.
Yeah.
He'd be able to use that, I guess. It just depends on how the team would work around him. That makes sense as well, like who's around him and stuff like that.
Tweed and union, like, there's a lot of dynamics, like jumping in lineouts, that sort of thing. So, like, you know, a beast ball carrier who's a back rower could end up not getting picked because, you know, you need to pick a six or something that can jump in a lineout because you don't have enough options.
It's a
weird thing. Like, that's something we face this year. Like, obviously, with big Willie Skelton, 150 kilos, it's going to be hard to get in the air. So, you know, you got, like, people like him, but then you got, like, you know, people in the back row like Tom Hooper who can then take his line out load, and then we can have him in the, you know what I mean? Like,
How big is Hooper? Tom Hooper? Because he just ran over DMAC pretty easy. Yeah,
he's like, huge.
He's half body as well, apparently.
Yeah, he's half body. He gets that as well. He gets that in the chat. Nah, he's like, he'd be 6'4", 6'5", maybe. Yeah. A big build, big fella.
Yeah. Any other guys? Obviously, Cam Murray is like the obvious one. A lot of people say.
I'd probably say. I'd put Payne Haas in there for sure.
Eight.
Six. Eight. I'd probably put him six.
Yeah.
Like, big boy, just carry and tackle.
He's the ball, bro.
Just run. That's like. Keep it simple for him. I think he'd do some damage. Obviously, look at him. He's obviously doing a lot of damage in the NRL. And, mate, his engine, I've heard his engine's unreal. So,
yeah.
He'd be pretty good.
Fuck, that's pretty exciting, eh? Because I'm a rugby fan, and I hope a few of those boys come over and, like, give you guys, like, as I watch you play, bro, in New Kurabiti, you guys are so hard to tackle. And I watch the All Blacks, like, their whole back line is, like, a little bit annoying to tackle, you know what I mean? It makes a difference, and obviously you guys got to lay a platform for them to do that. But I hope it comes, man. It's going to be an exciting time for rugby over the next couple of years. Definitely. What was it like, Alatoa going down, obviously, Achilles in the scrum?
Oh, bro.
Does that shit sort of scar you? Oh, you're right.
It would scar, like, a player. Like, scrums are just a weird thing, bro, where, like, you've got, like, tons of weight going through your body. Like, and I just say tons. Like, I think it's like 2 tons of something going through your back, like, especially at the front.
Oh, really? Is that the weight behind it?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, you're transferring a lot of force through your body. So there's obviously always a lot of injuries in the front row, and there's so much weight and load, especially on a tight head on the right side of the scrum. Al's a beast. He'll come back better than ever, but it's just unfortunate. Like, he was our captain. He was our leader. He was probably one of our better players. And he's, like, tight head. We need some tight heads. Like, he's world class. So it's
I don't know the difference. I know where they sort of stand, but what's the big difference between those two, tight head and loose head?
Well, I reckon loose head's, like, a lot easier. And I'll say that. That's because I play loose head, but, like, tight head, you have to be crazy strong. Like, you just have to be very strong. Like, I'm
just in the scrum, mate. It's just in the scrum. Like, technically,
a lot.
Is it, like, a different type of strength? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you look at Taniela Tupou. He's he squats like 300 kilos and benches over 200, and he's 145 kilos, and he's huge, and he's so strong, bro.
Yeah.
But like, I could never replicate that on the right side of the scrum. It's like left side's like you're against, my head's on the outside, I'm against one person.
Oh, it's nice out there. Yeah. Hey, got a bit of room out there, bro.
It's practically a back.
He's in the
another flanker.
Bro, he's in the mix, bro. He's got two heads each side, and he's pushing against like five other people. So he's like, you got to be proper strong.
Like it's part of the game that like union guys and league guys always talk about. Like union guys look at league and go, that scrum's a waste of time. We us leagueies watch a union scrum, it collapses three times. We're like, you guys are wasting time. What's it like being rolling into a scrum the first time? Because I hear Phil Kearns talk about it. Like, oh, this is the part of the game that we love and sort of shit like that. Is it actually like that?
I'm
I feel like he's throwing that off to you, bro. Yeah,
it's a love-hate relationship. It's good when it's going well, but it's like definitely a hard thing that I've had to learn. Like, you come up against blokes that are 33 years of age and 145 kilos. Like, my starting debut for the Wallabies was against the Springboks, and I went up against Franz Malherba, who's 145 kilo farmer from Bloemfontein.
Got that country strength, bro. Yeah.
And like, I got pumped. And like, my first scrums in Super Rugby, Nella sent me off. Like, I went off the field. Like, I got carded for scrums, which is like unheard of. So like, it took me like a lot of lessons to learn actually how to scrum and how to do it, especially as a young bloke. But like, it's, bro, I love hate. Like, training scrums, no, not great. Like, yeah. Training mauls, not great.
Yeah,
like, it's all in a grain of salt, but in a game, if your scrum's going well and you're dominating the other team, there's no better feeling. So it's, yeah, it's very, it's interesting.
I was talking to Quade about it, and obviously he made them that mistake when he was saying, like, he goes, I made the mistake, like, I own that, but like, if we had all the boys on deck for the scrum, it like doesn't sort of collapse and they don't get the penalty. Mm-hmm. And from someone who doesn't really understand the game as well as you guys, I just didn't realize how important set pieces was until Quade sort of breaks it down for me, bro. Mm. Yeah.
You've got blokes in Europe who are like 140 kilos, can't do anything else around the field.
Yeah.
But scrum.
So, and they get paid like,
whatever.
Bro, like, in France, like, you get paid near $1 million to be
just a scrum. Like, that's, yeah, like your point on what you said there, how important the set piece is. Like,
that's crazy.
You know, as unfortunate that happened, knock on, and then there was a scrum, we can still win that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and that's exactly what he was saying,
yeah,
bro.
Like,
yeah,
we still have the capability to get the ball back. And that's, yeah, I guess that gets into your point of, you know, how crucial the set piece is. Like he was saying, there's some guys who literally just get paid just to scrum.
Like,
that'd be a good little gig, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Like, big coin, bro. Like, tight heads in Europe are the highest paid.
Mm.
Flat stick. You ask anyone.
Who's the highest paid prop in the world?
Nella. I get Nella scraps, man. No. Yeah. I'd say Nella's one of the better tight heads in the world, scrummaging wise, when it's on his day. But like, those South African boys, they all play all over Europe. Mm. All the Argentinian boys all over Europe.
Yeah. In Europe, so what we're getting at, Europe, there's a lot of set piece. Like, set piece is a big thing over there.
Wet, like cold.
Yeah, like so ball like scrums. Drop. Yeah, lots of ball drop are going to lead to scrums and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, I guess, big dogs that play over there.
Yeah.
In the set piece kind of.
Well, one thing I like about rugby is like, obviously different countries play different ways, and you see English sides, they're always keen to have a shot at goal, and I don't know if that comes off of like soccer history or because the weather's wet all the time, like that's how they build the game, or maybe it's because Wilkinson was so good. But like, I just feel like the way we play rugby down here, and when it's flowing, like you guys in that first half and it's just back and forth, is there like a downside to playing that more of expansive style of football? Depends if it's going well or not, isn't it?
100%. Yeah, I'd say it depends. Or like, it can depend on fitness sometimes, or even like the conditions. Like, if it's, you know, wet and rainy and windy and stuff, and you're throwing the ball a bit too much, sometimes it might not help you out.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it differs. I'd say like we can play that expensive footy.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with our, like, I reckon, like, the people we have in Australia. Like, obviously, we have a lot of, we're usually the most like fit, like endurance wise.
We're pretty skillful and powerful.
Like, we have a big Polynesian contingency in our team, like a lot of power runners, like a lot of people that are so powerful, that's crazy. Like, so it's like, you got to like weigh that up. Like obviously we want to go to set piece and slow the game down and stuff like that if it's the right time. But in saying that, like if we got blokes like Mark on the wing, we need to give them the ball. We got blokes like, you know, Rob Valentini in the pack or Taniela, we need to give them the ball because, you know, that's their thing. Like that's what they're good at. That's what they expose teams with. So it's like, yeah, we play that way because that's the Australian way and that's Australian rugby.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's something that we have to learn and get used to is like if we go over to Europe and we go to France and it's a rainy day and they've got a big pack, you know, we're going to have to change our game to that slow scrums.
Yeah. French side's cool, eh? They got a cool side, eh? Yeah. DuPont and all those boys.
Pretty cool at the moment.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to go on about the point like as much as we want to play our own footy, like, yeah, we're going to have to adapt to certain situations and but at the same time, we've got to stay confident and play the way we do because it works. We know it works. That's why people have done it for years. That's all I was going to say.
Who do you see as the biggest threats for the World Cup?
Threats?
Plenty on the other side of the pool.
Yeah.
It's weird because it's the first time in a while that we've had like sort of a World Cup where there's a lot of the, I think they say the left side of the pool. The left side of the pool is like sort of really stacked. Like you've got Ireland, South Africa, New Zealand, France. England, France, all like sort of like have to play each other before they get to like the real top end.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, look, it's going to be, I think France are favourites.
Obviously there's, you know, France and Ireland been doing well. But I think we shouldn't think of people as threats, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah, you know, okay, yeah.
But like
yeah.
France and Ireland have been doing so well over the past few years. New Zealand always come good, you know, at the World Cups or the big stages. So I think we're lucky. Like you said, we've
got a good pool.
On the right side at the moment. So,
and I think you can I know games are measured in wins and losses, but like at a deeper level, when you actually play the game, I think from four games ago to where you are against the All Blacks down in Dunedin, a chance to win the game, the growth's been there, and it'd be a good chance to roll in against like Georgia and build confidence again. 100%. You just need to go on a run, don't you?
Yeah, no, that's the goal. Like you said, just try and build it and then hopefully, you know, go right through and try to take that cup.
100%. QC, my boy. Sid used to sort of follow him around that training when you were a little bit younger. Sort of pulled him up when he was older.
It's a funny
story. Still now as well.
Still hold his pocket, bro. Nah, so my old man actually coached the Reds. So like weird, like sort of like full circle sort of stuff. Like when Quaid was at the Reds, playing at the Reds, when the Reds were really successful.
When the Reds were the Reds.
When the Reds were like, you got Will Genia, Quaid, all those sort of boys. Digby, Higginbotham, all the
That was stars. A time, mate. And you were there as a kid.
Yeah, my old man was the forwards coach. And so like Slips now, Rob Simmons when he was in the Wallabies a couple of years ago when I was just starting and Quaid. Would see me running around as the ball boy. I was like six, bro. Like, there's a photo actually of me and Simo, who's the Rob Simmons, who was in the Wallabies a couple of years ago, with his hand on my head, like just like resting on my head for a photo, and I had my Reds jersey on. So it's go the Tars, but
yeah, low key Reds guy. Yeah, I get that.
But yeah, it was like it was pretty cool. Like, and they felt terrible as well because like obviously it's pretty funny. Like a kid used to pat on the head is like. Yeah, but he's now packing behind me in a scrum. It's like sort of really weird. Like
that must be cool for you, bro.
Oh, bro, it's like the coolest thing ever, bro. Like, yeah, it's words can't explain. Like, sort of you play with the people you watch, bro. Like, it's crazy. Like, I get to see Michael Hooper every day. I used to think like this, like he was like everything. It's crazy.
Mm. What about you? Obviously, sort of look after yourself a bit, kind of look like Quaid with the eyes and shit like that. If the influencer, I wouldn't say influencer, but the Instagram. But do you look at him for like motivation, not so much as well as on the field? Because he prepares fucking better than most. And I've hung out for him and like we're in Japan, we'll fall asleep. He'll wake up and do his like fucking half an hour stretching routine.
Yeah, or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Like, is it cool to see that type of preparation through someone who like been a back and stuff?
Yeah. Oh, I'd say I just go back to the, like, it's cool because, you know, growing up watching, you know, Quaid when he was, like, obviously he's a superstar, you know, back then and still now. But yeah, it's cool to see how he does things. And I guess, yeah, you take certain things out of, you know, how he prepares and, you know, how well organized he is. Like after training, like he has a set plan as to what he does and stuff like that. you know, it goes to show, you know, how, why he does so well. It's because I guess he's just consistent with the, you know, the dedication that he, you know, he's been doing for the past however long, and still is to now. So yeah, no, it's pretty cool. I guess pretty cool to, you know, see how he does his things. And
it's just so detailed, yeah. Eh? Like, that's the thing. Like, I was talking to him yesterday. I was like, oh, talk us through your kicking routine. He's like, oh, well, on Monday I do like shapes, or he's just saying all this random shit, bro. Yeah. He was talking about 15 minutes about a kicking routine. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, that's the crazy part, like the detail of it. Like, but that shows how smart he is as well. Like, that's one thing I've taken out, I guess, from the time that, because this is my first time, I guess, being around and being a part of the team when Quade's there. And the cool thing is to see how, you know, how smart he is, you know, just with footy and the things that he does. And I guess that comes from the detail, like just the detail that he puts into everything. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that must be cool. I talked to him a little bit about rugby, and we sort of have these conversations about like players can't really be themselves. And well, the same conversations I have with Artie, where because the All Black system's been so strong for so long, that culture that they've developed is all about team. And then it's, I wouldn't say it's not celebrated, but it's hard to be an individual person out there. But one thing that Quade always, he said this a couple times, and I think Super Rugby is great because it's, had its time, and obviously the South African teams have left. Do you think it would be better if the Australian teams pulled out of Super Rugby, like you never played New Zealand, but you all went into club rugby? Because I live out east, like Beasties, obviously the Wicks, I lived in Manly for a bit. Like, those games are massive. Mm. Do you reckon it would be better to build the game through club level, or do you miss out on the development of playing Super Rugby? Sorry, long-winded question, but I hope you...
Yeah, I reckon you need some sort of representative footy between like the Wallabies and club level. Obviously, they did it a long time ago, actually, like early 2000s, where like you would get picked out of your club team to play for the Wallabies. So there are a few blokes that like playing first grade for Sydney Uni on a Sunday, and then the next week they're in Wallabies camp playing against the All Blacks, starting against the All Blacks. So it's like, I think there needs to be that buffer. Obviously, there was the NRC for a bit, which was another step. We actually played, was when we came sort of through. That was the last year of it. So we played for country.
Yeah.
From the country. But yeah, we played for New South Wales country. And yeah, I just think like, yeah, the Waratahs and the Reds will always be there. I just think like, I think that like we need like a South Africa. We need like the Argentinian team, the Japanese team. I reckon it's,
yeah, or like even like the New Zealand teams, like, you know, we've had a rough few years with Aussie teams and the New Zealand teams, but I guess that experience is actually help us. Mm.
As weird as it,
yeah.
Because then when you go to play the All Blacks, it's not like, oh, I haven't seen this dude before. Like, 100%. He was just wearing red and black before. Exactly. He was in a Chiefs uniform before.
Yeah.
But now they're just all together in black.
Yeah.
It's hard because you go like, if you play the Chiefs, you got like D-Mac and all your prep that week is on him.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, this bloke, you dress up someone in a bib, like on the other team who's playing, and you go, he's D-Mac, don't let him go anywhere. Like, and then like they all come together for the All Blacks and every single player is like at that level.
So you like watch everyone.
You're sort of like, okay, everyone can do everything. So it's like, there's no weakness. There's no chink. Like there's nothing we can go after. It's just all, you know, we just got to all buy into the team plan and hope that our team plan and we do it as hard as we can, you know, produce a result.
Mm. So. But one of the theories you sort of brought up in club rugby was that like, because you guys haven't won for so long, like it'd be nice to see. Like I remember when the Tars won, like maybe 5-6 years ago, like how big that was. So the Australian public isn't used to an Australian team winning, and then therefore they go follow that. And like you said, like you guys struggled in the bleed for the last 20 years, and it hasn't been your guys' fault, but you still pack out the G.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy, you know what I mean? So I think that was the point he was always getting across.
Mm, yeah, 100%. Like rugby's always going to be big over here, I believe.
Yeah.
It's just got to get bigger. And through success, I think that brings it. So it's like, man, there's so many Kiwi supporters over here. Right?
Even the GA. Like, after the game, most of them were All Black supporters. So it was like,
we're getting some All Black chants going for a bit. It's like, All Blacks. It's probably not your realm, but it's a realm that I'm actually interested in. But the media side around it, and I know it's a little bit traditional. Do you think, is there anything that you feel that it could improve on? Because I look at league, like we've got all these, I call them sub-medias. So like we were a part of that with YKTR Sports, Bloke in the Bar, you got Hollow Sports who just fucking talk like rubbish, but it's absolutely so funny. Do you reckon there's definitely a space for that here in Australia, and I feel like it's really missing. I know there's Peak Athletic Club and they sort of do their thing, but like that next evolution or that next sub media, I think that's where their growth really lies within the game.
Yeah,
100%. Like, I think, like you said, it's very traditional. Like, there's not much going on, if that makes sense. And that's why, that's the difference I feel with, I guess, the NRL's media or the AFL's media compared to us is like, there's so much going on. And yeah, there's definitely a big space for, I guess, those other little sub medias, like you said, to I guess, get talking and get more, I guess, action on unit. And I guess that's part of how we can grow the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely something that.
You see some talking shit, eh? Yeah.
Sometimes Eddie, you know, can throws out things, but that gets people talking, you know what I mean? Like, I guess that's. I guess that's what the game needs a bit, just something just to get the game.
Yeah, there are some. Yeah, there are some interesting guys in Union, man. Like Quaid's Exhibit A. Like he would be probably the most well prepared person or athlete going around in team sports. Like he's next level. Like always doing the same thing, same routine. You know, prepares every day like it's his last. Like he's so strict on his preparation. So, like, someone like that, obviously, you would have had him on here and he's, you know, number one probably for podcasting because of his stories and stuff. But he's Exhibit A of, like, someone that's so interesting that people would want to hear about it. And that's something that, like, I feel like we miss in Union. Yeah, 100%.
Do you know what I think really misses in Union? And, like, I've grown up watching a lot of it, but, like, I still don't understand the nitty-gritty of it. And, like, the scrum chat we just had before, like, I find that stuff really interesting. And then you see a lot of Australian people or New Zealand, we watch American sports and NFL is amazing because just how technical that sport is. And league is, to me, checkers. It's fast, it's fun. Like it transfers well to social media because there's impact and we're 10 meters apart. But Union's like chess.
Yeah.
And you can play Union in so many ways. I just don't see anyone breaking down the game for us commoners to understand.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, Quake could be that guy.
Yeah, 100%. But as I said before, like it's so weird how like, you know, like someone, as I said before, with the scrum stuff and the tight head, like no one would look at a scrum and be like, oh, the scrum's rock solid or the scrum's being dominant. That's on the tight head. That's why the team's going so well. Like there's been games with like, you know, like a tight head won't do anything else in the whole game. Won't touch the ball, won't make a tackle, won't clean out a ruck, won't do anything crazy, just nothing. But he'll scrum the other team off the field and he'll walk off the field into the change room. He'll be man of the match. He'll be celebrating.
Yeah, I love that.
So there's so many different things that like you can be good at. That's why I reckon rugby is so good. Like you don't have to be big. You don't have to be buff. You don't have to like be like the best tackler, the best runner. As long as you've got your niche, like, you know, if you can kick goals 60 meters out, you'll get picked in a team because like that's something that like,
if you're ticking the scoreboard over, right? Yeah. Like,
You, if you have your thing you're really good at, then that's a little piece of the puzzle that you can add to a team. And, you know, that's why it's, I reckon Union's so good because, you know, it's a game for everyone. Like, I'm a prop. Me to transfer to league now would be virtually impossible because I'm too big because of how I have to push in scrums. And same as, like, the other boys who are, like, tight heads and stuff. It's like his niche is in rugby union as a tight head because of what he brings to a team. So it's, everyone's got their individual assets.
Yeah. What other positions, like say, like we've broken down the scrum pretty well. Like how important is like a line out? Is that just as important as a scrum, more important or evens? Yeah,
like, there's line out callers. So like that's the other crazy part. Like I'm a back, but it's so cool to watch these guys like do their stuff. Like the second rollers, like the tall timbers we call them. Mate, the stuff that they have to know and like just the way they call it and they have to work with it, with the back line because we need to know how the ball's coming out. If it's going to be thrown off the top or are they going to take it down and more, like there's so much to it, which is so interesting. And it's crazy how their decisions can actually affect how, you know, that's what you call it. Like it's chess, literally chess. Like you do one move, it's going to open up something. You know what I mean?
Not giving your calls away or anything, but like I hear hookers, like they just ramble out numbers and it reminds me of like a quarterback in NFL. I don't know how to ask the question, but like, what do they do with that? Are they trying to throw people off with the numbers or is like the fourth number the one that you're going on? Like,
usually it's either like a pre-call or a bunch of code that we'll select for a game and the second number is where we're going to throw it to, or if there's like a spelling out of like, you know, if it's like, say it's like busy or something, the word's busy, B's the front, Y's the back, that word in that code or combination is where the ball's going to go, and that's where we all have to go. So like, for example, like we have
All Blacks, just listen to this one.
It's crazy because like we have a tight head who's like our main scrummager who locks down the scrum as set piece. We, you know, you pick Will Skelton behind him because he's 150 kilos and he can get the scrum going forward.
You're not moving out, yeah.
And then you pick like someone like Nick Frost who's 6'9" and light and can operate a line out really well with back rows around him. So like he would like, he'll go and talk to Quade or Carter and get the call or the play sheet that we're going to run, like the pattern, for example. Yeah. And then he'll come back and make a decision on the line out call whilst looking at the opposition. So like if Sam White looks chocked at the front, obviously we're not going to go there because like we'll win the ball.
Yeah, and then he tells the hooker.
And then the hooker will come
in. So you guys, say you guys kick out, you guys are sort of walking. Is there conversation starting there?
Conversations.
Oh, okay.
It's something that I like struggled with originally as well, because it's like there's so much information you have to process every play. You got to process all the information, understand where you're going and what you're doing. It's like, and where you have to stand, and whether you're going to get the ball, whether you're going to be like a decoy and everything like in our attack has to be moving. So like it's deception everywhere. So hopefully where the ball goes, we break the line. So
next minute, hooker. Yeah. Hey, not straight. Scrum. Yeah, yeah, fuck you. What are you doing?
Back to scrumming, bro.
Yeah. Interest outside of football. Obviously, we're talking a lot of rugby. You do a lot of stuff with Wateability.
Yeah, yeah.
Very good on you. That's pretty cool. Thanks. What made you get into that?
It was after a spring tour, my first spring tour, actually, I got COVID over there. So I was playing for the Barbarians. It's a team that Quade just played for.
Barbars are cool. They're club rugby wise, they're one of the coolest teams ever. Because they just play footy.
Hectic week, bro. So we're in London in Mayfair, like probably one of the best places in the world. And we did the whole week. Like it's on the piss. Week of
It's
drinking,
a piss out pay.
It's a week of drinking. And Renz was our coach as well. So we had heaps of Aussies in the team. But just a week of drinking, had so much fun, like traveled all around, winter wonderland, like everything. And then we got to the last day. We're all doing rat tests every day. Did a rat test and Dwayne Vermeulen, the big Saffa number 8, he tested positive. And we're like, oh God, like what's, like, come on, like let's just play. And then he's like, we're all getting PCR tests. Anyway, Dwayne Vermeulen didn't even have COVID. I had COVID, Rob the owner had COVID, and a few of the other boys had COVID. So we got locked down that day. The next day we were meant to play Samoa. Didn't end up happening. And then when I flew back, I had to do 3 days in isolation. And yeah, I just felt like...
You're on the come down.
Exactly, bro.
Yeah, a weak bender.
I know, bro. And then like I just felt like there was, you know, not no substance in my life, but something that like, you know, I could attach myself to that was not about me and not about, you know, I guess rugby, and something that, you know, I could give back to someone, you know, if they needed it. And that's where the relationship fostered. And obviously spoke to Steve Dreslow, who's the founder.
I know Stevie.
Yeah, Stevie. Yeah. And bro, just hit it off from there. And I was just looking after a kid called Joey, who's a bloke that I'd take out, you know, he's a young boy. He's 13 now, I think. And he's nonverbal, high complexity. Like he can't do anything for himself. And we just go out for a day in Bondi and we have a blast, bro. So it's like, it's simple, but it's just something that I thought I could give back for.
Yeah, 100%, bro. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Obviously gives you a bit of balance and perspective on life too. 100%.
Bro, 100%. Like it's crazy to think like how families
you think
are
like losing yeah you think losing like, the scrum's like bad, eh? And you're just like,
bro,
you've got families,
you go home and like the whole family's based around one individual in the family, obviously Joey in my case, where it's like they life isn't yeah it's crazy. It's they give up so much just to, you know, support Joe and stuff like that. And yeah, they can't like leave him, like you can't be without him. So they can't go for dinners, like you can't go for a walk, you can't walk the dog, you can't go for breakfast together as like they're a happily married couple.
Yeah,
just things like that. And that Wateability allows them to, you know, live a bit of normality for a bit.
So I love that Wateability is like sort of KPI. It's not like, just make sure they have fun. Like that's what they measure on. It's a pretty cool metric to sort of go on.
That's good, bro.
What are you up to outside of rugby? Besides heading to New Zealand?
No, man, I'm pretty chilled at the moment. Obviously, footy's my main thing. But, mate, just got a big family. Like to look after my family a lot. And, at the moment, just chilling. At the moment, just footy.
All right, boys, last question. And it can be a rugby one and a personal one. What legacy do you want to leave behind once it's all done?
Just say being a winner, bro. Like, you can be, like, a successful individual and, you know, play rugby at a high level for 10, 20 years. But I just feel like what separates you from other people is just the, you know, the amount of success you have in the sport. So like, look at Richie McCaw. He was a great player, but like, what separates him from other sevens is that, you know, he was World Cup winner twice. He was, you know, Bledisloe winner how many times, you know? Fine. So I just feel like being successful is like a big thing, and winning as a team, like, and as a country, like representing your country.
Bro. Webb Ellison 2027.
Bro.
Imagine that,
23,
bro.
2023?
No, I mean in Australia.
Oh, yeah,
yeah, imagine that, bro.
Yeah, it would be hectic, bro. It'd be unreal.
What about you, bro?
Yeah, oh, obviously the winning part of it is pretty special.
Which sport?
Yeah, basketball.
Oh, you play ball as well?
Oh, no. Don't
ball up a bit. No, I'd say, yeah, look, obviously the winning part of it's I guess the main part of it, but at the same time I want people to know that, like, you know, just to have fun, I guess, like,
it looks like you have fun when you play footy, right?
Yeah, like, I guess that's the best way to do it, is having fun. But for me, I guess having fun, if people can see me having fun, they're gonna, I guess, be happy. Like, for me, family's a big part, and the smiles that I you know, like after the game and seeing my parents or my cousins and that, just to see how happy they are sometimes, you know, after, like, you know, seeing me play is pretty special. And it's pretty cool sometimes, you know, you go around town or, you know, any in the shops or something, and there'll be some kid there, and it's just like, you know, they just seem like a bit starstruck, which is crazy.
Mm.
And it still gets me every time, like, and it just makes me think, like, how cool that is. Like, this kid just, you know, sees me playing and he's so excited about that, which is pretty cool. So I guess, yeah, just if I can, you know, I don't know, make people happy by the way I do things, like just having fun, that's pretty cool. And I guess, yeah, the winning side of it, with that, yeah, it's kind of...
Oh, it just makes life easier, doesn't it?
Literally.
Yeah. So much easier. Yeah. All right, boys, I just want to say thanks for jumping on. Obviously, wish you guys all the best at the World Cup. Have you make the final and the All Blacks pump you. So. Thanks for jumping on, boys.
Cheers.
Thank you very much for having us.